Hello, everybody. Give everyone a moment to settle in. It's good to see you all. I missed you last week, although I did get to see some of you on Friday, which was really nice. Let's actually get started with a short grounding today. One sec. Who's Brandon B? It's probably just someone logged in under a different name today. Who's Brandon B Tudor?
You can see, I think it's I'm sorry if I hope I Christine, right? Christina?
Oh, I'm not seeing all the everybody's
Yeah.
pictures right now. Hold on. Okay,
Yes,
as
it's
long as it's someone
Christina.
in our circle. Oh, there
I'm
you
using
are.
my son's
That's so weird.
iPad.
You know what's so funny? It's the second time that that happened today. That almost never happens. And then in one of my earlier classes today, the same somebody else logged in under a different name. I always want to make sure because it's a safe space.
I'm super glad you make sure because it is a safe space.
Yeah. You know, I always try to look. Okay. Okay, great. Mindy, thank you for asking how I'm feeling. I'm not 100%, but I'm almost there and I feel so much better. Thank you. All right, let's take a moment and come into the space and settle in. If it feels aligned for you, you can close your eyes. If not, you can just keep your eyes open. But I invite you to go inwards and take a few breaths to come back home to yourself. Let each inhale and exhale be an invitation for you to come home, for you to be present in this moment. Our lives can sometimes get so hectic or busy or chaotic or stressful that we leave parts of ourselves in parts of our day. This is an invitation to call all your parts back. And to be here. And to remember your body. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you to connect in with your heart. You may want to put a hand on your over your heart. And just connect in with your love. And specifically with your self love. And together we'll take a deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and out. And then allow your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. It's great to see everybody. Welcome. So, we are continuing with our visioning and strategizing module today. In our last training call, we did a dive into visioning with our clients and supporting them to create visions that are really aligned for them, as well as beginning to support them to create visions that they will be likely to execute, to take action on, and to feel happy to achieve and move towards. There's a couple of little visioning pieces that I wanted to backtrack on today. So we'll spend a few minutes on that today. But then really the bulk of our time today is we're gonna look at the next step that's important after visioning. And this is a step that many practitioners overlook, that we look at it here. It's what I call the energetics of new things. When we vision something new, even if it's like old new, you know, it's been visioned before, but we come back to it, it has a certain energy, and we want to understand the energetics of it. That will really help us support our clients to move forward on it. There's another piece to all of this. After energetics, we look at strategizing. Over the weekend, as I was looking at our schedule for this cycle, I noticed that somehow I neglected to put in, and the team didn't catch, that we have a session for strategizing. But we need to look at strategizing. So, what did I do? We're set on the original schedule on November 16th to move on to systems and protocols. We're gonna use that session to really go deep into strategizing skills. So that, and you'll get an email about this, but I just wanted to speak it out loud as well. So you'll get So we'll, on that already scheduled day, which we had in our calendar, we're going to look at strategizing skills. And then what I did was I added another live class the following Tuesday. We were going to be off. It's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But I am going to show up live that day. And if you are available to show up live as well, please do our regular time, and we'll do systems and protocols that day. And if you're not able to show up live that day, no worries, you'll get the recording for systems and protocols in your member center, you know, later that day or the next day. But I just didn't want to skimp on the strategizing skills, and I'm sorry about that scheduling oversight. So we're going to look at energetics of new things today. Next week, you're going to get a recording. We don't meet live next week, but you'll get a recording of me doing some model coaching around visioning, energetics of new things, and some strategizing. If they haven't already dropped it in the member center, I just want to make a note to remind them, you'll also get a demo of me doing a visioning model coaching as a visualization. So lots of different model coaching to listen to and learn from. All right, any question on our schedule? Jenna's asking, I had a question around systems. Is that around marketing or coaching systems? Yeah, it's a good question, Jenna. So it's not we're not going to look at marketing systems on that. It's about coaching systems. We're on that systems and protocols call. We look at everything you need to onboard a new client, like that whole system, systems for scheduling, for rescheduling. If payments somehow didn't get collected, we look at systems for like halfway marks in coaching cycles and, you know, doing some a little bit of assessment there. So different types of systems in your coaching practice. Carlita, yes, on the 23rd, it's our regular time. So 3 to 4:30 Eastern on the 23rd for that extra call. Any other cues? No? Simona.
It's not a cue, it's a share, but I just want to share it with everyone. So I heard you on our newbie call that like after we had the systems and protocols, which I'm really super excited for, because as a person who's not a coach that yet, that sounds awesome. Like how to onboard, no idea. But I just want to do a little shout out in our group because you said we would be feeling ready. So I put out the call to my people and I was like, I am ready for a volunteer clients. So and now I'm switching from coaching trades, which I've been doing this whole time, to volunteer clients. So I'm excited about that class because that will help me be ready for my volunteer clients that I have coming up. Yay!
Yay, that's awesome. Huge celebration. I'm glad that it's happening, but even more so, I'm glad that you're feeling ready and confident. Nicely done. Okay. So there are a couple pieces that I wanted to share, a couple little extra pieces about visioning. Usually, this question gets asked, and nobody asked this question when we were looking at visioning. But the question of, well, what do you do if a client is just resistant to visioning? Like they just don't want to vision a goal. They don't want to vision the future. They don't, you know, want to look. So if you're a seasoned practitioner, usually this question gets asked by the seasoned practitioners because if you're a seasoned practitioner, if you're working with clients, you will see it will sometimes come up that you go to vision with a client and there is a resistance to it. So what do you do? Well, a couple of things. Number one, first and most important thing, your energetics as a practitioner. Don't freak out. Don't be like, oh my God, what do I do? This is so crazy and abnormal that there's resistance to visioning. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with my client, right? No, you are whole and complete exactly as you are. Your client is whole and complete exactly as they are. That energy is bar none, right? And with any kind of resistance, knowing that it's all good. So that's foundational, right? That energetic piece. From there, the next thing you want to do, first and foremost, is normalize the experience. Normalize the experience. So what will often happen is someone is resistant to visioning, and then the very next feeling or thought behind their like they just can't vision, they don't see it, they don't feel it, or whatever it is. The very next thought they usually have behind it, whether they realize it or not, is, well, there must be something wrong with me that I can't do this, right? So you want to normalize the experience of having trouble seeing, visioning, seeing what they want next, really seeing the goal, et cetera, and say, like, this comes up, right? They're like, this sometimes happens. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to vision this thing that we're visioning. It's just there's another piece in the process that we need to explore first. Normalizing. Just the act of normalizing itself will already start to poke holes in the resistance to it. Just the act of normalizing itself. From there, the next thing is you want to explore the resistance, right? And sometimes you can do this in very simple ways. It doesn't have to be fancy. You might ask, what do you sense is in your way? Right? Or you might ask, what are you scared of? Like, if you were to be able to vision this, what are you scared of with it? Or what are you avoiding? Or you might ask, what would be at risk for you if you were to really see this next big thing for yourself? In a couple of weeks, we're gonna learn the befriend your fear process. Once you have that under your belt, that's a somatic process that you can also do at that point with the client if they're resistant. Help, identify the fear and then work with the fear to start to poke some holes in it or the block. You can also befriend the block. A lot of the time, that's gonna be enough, right? And then you can start to do visioning with your client. Every now and again, what a client might need in order to be able to vision is a pattern break out of the mental level of learning and processing. A pattern break out of the mental level of learning and processing. So what I mean by that is for some people, and maybe this has happened to you before too, it's like we get so in our heads and like thinking and overthinking about like what the thing is and what it should be, that that is overwhelming and like the thinking actually becomes the block. And in those situations, break pattern, move into visioning in a way that the mental level isn't primary in the exploration. So, for example, in that case, move to a visualization, maybe. That might be one way of doing it. Or maybe for homework, give an assignment to create a vision board or a collage, right? With like no myth of perfection, but to just go and look and find images that they feel like somehow evoke the feeling of this thing or has a piece of this thing, right? And then you can look at the vision board together. You might move them into a dialogue with spirit or something bigger than their ego, activate the spirit level of learning and processing. So, to break that pattern out of the mental. Let me pause there. Any thoughts or questions on this, what to do if a client is resistant to visioning? Mindy.
So I hear what you're saying, but I'm also kind of wondering if sometimes this has to do with maybe different learning styles. And like I'm a very visual learner, so it's easy for me to do that. But I think for some people it's really not. And so I'm just wondering how that kind of plays into it. And maybe it's the word visual that's hard for people. I don't know. So I'm just wondering where that plays in.
It's such a good, you're bringing up such a good point. There are different learning styles, right? So, if visual or visualizing is something that kind of makes a client nervous or they feel uncomfortable with that, then yeah, you don't want to go into an actual visualization. You could do other visual type things like the vision board, because if it's like seeking an image, right, outside of themselves, that usually it's not the same kind of thing. But it could also be you could start with feeling like, okay, so you're having trouble articulating or seeing or understanding what your new business is going to look like. But let's see, like, is it okay to close your eyes? What does your new business feel like? Right? So you can start with feeling. And then also remember that spirit level. So, and spirit level can be many things. So, like in this example that I'm giving, it could be like, okay, now let's talk to your future business. What does your future business want you to know about what kind of clients it serves? Or, that may even be too tactical at the beginning. What does your future business just want you to know in general about it? What are the different values that this future business holds? Ask it, right? So you could do it that way as well. Or just stay away from all of that and ask those questions, but more in conversation to, everything we looked at last week too. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah. And the other thing to remember, we looked at this last week, but just to remind everybody, the other thing to remember about resistance to visioning is you wanna always locate what season your client is in. If they're like at the beginning of a winter phase, or like deep in a winter grieving, or having just let go of something else, they may not be ready to start to see what's happening in the next spring yet. We do start, and we'll look at this a little bit today, we do start visioning in the dark, but if they need to rest or go through grief or whatever that winter process needs, that may need to happen first before visioning. Linda.
I was just going to say that it sometimes that word does throw people, and that you can just explain that even though we say visioning, it you might not have a picture at all, that it includes just a feeling or a sensation, or maybe you see one object or something, and like explain a little bit about the bigness of that word, and then they go, oh, okay, because I often just I don't necessarily see stuff in thinking in that way, but I do visualizing all the time. So.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, sometimes just really defining that it's not a visual image necessarily, can be so helpful. All right, I feel like there's some things going on in the chat. Let's see. Ray is one of our visioning experts. She says, we call it visioning not because of what we see or don't see, but from the place we see it, but the place we see it from. It's about embracing a higher vision of who we are and what we could be. I love that. Yes, energetic for sure. Stacy is asking, what do you do when a client resists visioning, even when they say they're ready, and then suddenly get angry, acting out of character when we start to explore it? Yeah, so Stacy, I hate to give you this answer, but in like 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks, like beginning of December, we're gonna do resistance arch. Like that's a resistance archetype. It's part of a variation of the judge, and there's like shadow stuff that comes up with resistance archetypes, and we will get to all of that. But for now, I'll say it's normal, and like energetics first, you normalize it, it's okay, it can happen. When people go into fear or are confronted with a stretch, sometimes the fear can be so big that they react to the fear in these like seemingly unsavory ways, but we will learn how to handle and work with them for sure. And I guess just the other thing for now I'll say is creating awareness skills too, right? Sometimes just having a conversation like, this is what I'm noticing is happening, whenever we go to do some visioning and tell me if I'm getting this right, client, it almost to me feels like you're acting from an energy that's different from your own. You know, you may want to say angry or not necessarily say angry, you know, depending on the client, but like, what do you notice about your energy right now? What feels different than from a few minutes ago, et cetera? Like, even just starting with that can help open up a conversation sometimes. Jenna's saying, I wonder if asking the client to define visioning or what it means to them could help get some clarity. That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah, Jamie's saying, and Jamie, I learned about aphantasia because of you. I had never heard of that before, and I was so glad to learn about it a number of months ago. That it's when you can't see something in your mind's eye. And so you can still lead a client through a process, but it's just not about visualizing or seeing it. It's about, like Jamie's saying, it's the energetics. It's about feeling it and then dialoguing, etc. Hima, I feel like you had a question in there. Did I miss it? Sometimes I lose things in the chat. Are you saying Hima, did you have a question too? I feel like you did, but now I can't find it. Or maybe I'm just making that up. Linda.
Well, I just wanted to say another quick thing. I discovered that my one client, for her, the visioning, like when you go on these little journeys and stuff, it threw her totally into a place she didn't want to go. She felt like she left her body. She didn't know where she was, and it scared her. And so we started doing much more body-based things where she's not like on this, going on this path to the beach or, you know, one of those things. And so that it just, everything changed when we started doing this body thing. So I'm just putting that out there to maybe find out, you know, where clients are at with this kind of thing before you invite them to do it.
Absolutely, 100%. And as we looked at last week, that's, you know, you can just have a conversation, right? Like most of what we looked at, and you want to activate heart and spirit, body and all of that, but it doesn't have to be like taking them on a visual journey at all. Okay. Kim is saying, I found visioning and meditation can be challenging for some who have had trauma. It doesn't feel safe to go into those. Exactly. That's why keeping it on, like all the things we looked at last week, keeping it on that mental level, activating some heart, but you don't have to do it as a visualization. And especially if it's not appropriate for that client, always coach the what based on the who. Okay. And then one last piece, a little bit of a different take. What do you do when you go to vision with a client and they have a lot of different ideas? There's like so many different ideas all over the place. So I'm gonna ask you all. So what do you do? Could be this, but it could be that, but it might be this thing or the other thing. How do you hold space for that and navigate that as a practitioner? Carlita.
Sorry if it's a little loud in here. One thing that I have used recently that I have loved is it's a book called The Passion Test. And she asked this question that I find so powerful. She's like, if you could only have one of these two things that you're looking at right now, if you had to go to the end of your life and you could only have one of these two things, it's like, which is the one for which everything else could just fall away? And I found that very powerful in my own personal, you know, realizations around like what really matters to me. And I've used that with my clients as well.
Yes, I love that. Can you put the name of the book in the chat if anybody wants it? So, you know, that question that Carlita just shared, that is a prioritizing question, right? So sometimes if clients have a lot of ideas, one of the things that we want to do is support them to prioritize. Sometimes we have to do it by telling them that it's not that they're not going to get to the other ideas also, right? Because then that can cause other kinds of resistance. But like, but what is next for this next period of time? What else? How else might you handle a client that has lots of different ideas? Any other thoughts? Ray is saying, I encourage clients to window shop initially. No pressure to pick one. Yes. Yeah, so beautiful. So sometimes it can always be like for a day, move throughout your day as if you had chosen this one and see how that feels and what that brings up. And then the next day, move through that day as if you had chosen choice B and see how that feels and what comes up. Nice. Some other ways to get at it too is to look at the difference, and we looked at this last week, is the difference between ego and desire or need. Shoulds versus desires. So ego versus desire is a little bit different than should versus desire, although they're related. But sometimes our ego comes up with an idea that is not necessarily aligned with our hearts and what is right for us. So supporting clients to kind of see the difference between the two. Sometimes asking a question like, how does this idea fit in with your highest vision for yourself or with your longer term vision for yourself? Or how does this idea fit in with your values? Sometimes someone will see that something doesn't quite fit with their values too. Okay. Last piece I want to mention before we get into energetics of new things is protocol for a first session with a client. So I know sometimes people like to have this, so I share it, but here's the like pre-qualifier. Remember, always coach the what based on the who. So I'm going to give like a little bit of a protocol for a first session right now. And it's related to vision, you'll see. But, you know, different clients need different things. And so you'll have different first sessions. Sometimes I start with a client and they have like an immediate, we don't start visioning. Right away, because they have an immediate situation in their life that they need to navigate through right then and there, you know, and so we're going to look at that first, for example, and then maybe get to some visioning on that first session or maybe not. But the basic, you know, protocol that you can fit a lot of first sessions into is as follows. And there's container setting at the beginning of a first session. We'll look at that at systems and protocols, how to set that container in the very first session. You usually want to take about 10 minutes of the first session to set the container between you and your client. We'll get there. But after that, here's one easy way. So first of all, support client to define their vision, right? Whatever the end goal they want, why they've hired you, right? Like, what is it that they want to achieve? And use all of the skills that we've been talking about last week and this week and take them through a process to start to define the vision. Some people within 15, 20, 25 minutes or so, 30 minutes, they will have their full, you know, for then that full, their full and complete vision. For other clients, there may be pieces that aren't filled in, and that's okay. Sometimes things, they do need to marinate on things, but you can get them to a place where they can see a lot of what they want to achieve, etc. Then from there, the next thing I like to do is ask the client, what is a belief that you have that could potentially block you from achieving this vision? What is a belief that you have that could potentially block you from achieving this vision, right? Because we want to be aware of that from the get-go, our first session, right? And more will come through as you work with the client, but have them define one. And then you could do a little unpacking of that, looking at where, why, where it comes from, et cetera. When we get to rewiring thought patterns, we'll look more at that. But eventually from there, I like to lead a client to define what is a new belief that is going to be supportive and nurturing for them to achieve this big vision. What is the belief that they want to stand by and keep on coming back to, at almost like their beacon, so that they can achieve the vision? And then from there, the last place I'll usually go with that is, okay, so even if you don't fully believe this new belief yet, let's pretend like you believe it. What are one or two things that you would start doing differently today? Sometimes three, if someone is ambitious. What are one or two or three things that you would start doing differently today if you totally believed this new belief? And then those one, two, three things kind of become the foundational, like from the get-go, those are some foundational practices for the client in the time that you have together. So again, that doesn't have to be a first session. Maybe that sparks other ideas for you. Always coach the what based on the who, but that is a pretty reliable, very full, satisfying first session and way to like really set nice, strong foundations for the work together. Any thoughts or questions on any of that? Carlita, you got kicked out of the Zoom. So define vision. What's the belief that's standing in the way of executing? Then what's a new belief that can be the guidepost, the beacon to help them achieve the vision, like a belief to keep on coming back to? And then if you really, really believe this new thing, what are three things that you would be doing differently? The nice thing also about the three things is that even if they don't believe the belief yet, which they probably don't, by doing those activities, it helps reinforce the new belief. Any thoughts or questions on that? No? Okay.
I had a quick question, Joanna. Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the beginning taking 10 minutes to set the container, and I'm thinking, a whole 10 minutes? Am I missing something about setting the container? So I was just wondering if you'd spell that out a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll just share it quickly now, and then we'll go a little bit more into it in our systems call. May not be 10 minutes, it might be 5 or 6 or 7, but the most important thing in the beginning, like the very first session, I really like to share with the client even though it's in my welcome packet already, I really like to share with the client just a couple of things for them to know about me and our work together. So for example, for me, I usually share with a client, you know, I want you to know first and foremost that I am here for you 100%. You know, I'm here for your success and your evolution and your transformation, always in your highest. And I, you know, sometimes I'll say like, and sometimes I might make a mistake or I may say something that doesn't resonate with your truth or, you know, what you know to be true. You always know best. And I want you to let me know if I ever say anything that doesn't resonate with your truth. That is, the space is here for that, right? So like from the get-go, I'm creating, you know, what we learned at in creating awareness, like agency and trust and all of that, but I'm saying it straight out so they know that that's what this container is about. I also let clients know that they can be in touch with me in between sessions, that I'm always happy if they email, you know, I let them know, please don't text me unless it's an emergency. Like I give them just some, not all the rules and guidelines, but ones that feel important, so that they feel really safe and so that we're creating something together. I may sometimes ask them, even though I asked in the welcome packet, you know, is there anything that you want me to know that feels really important just as we step into this work? Or is there anything you want me to know about some of your resistances or reactions, you know, when hard things come up? So we'll just spend a few minutes getting that set and settled. I'll also remind them of my rescheduling policy, like how to reschedule, just so that they know. Even though, again, all of that is in the welcome packet, but I just pick out certain things that feel important.
Thank you. That was so helpful. And what it helped me to realize is that I was taking this protocol as a first visioning session and not as like, oh, this is often how you will start a package, for example. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. Carlita, I am going to share my full welcome packet. I think it's already in the portal, but on our systems class, I'm actually going to go through it and explain why each is important and how you can adapt it for yourself. That's one of the things we'll do on that call. All right. Rana's saying, I did that verbally with a potential client yesterday, spoke straight from my values, and she signed up for my enhanced year-long program with no hesitation. Yay! So happy to hear that. Okay. Energetics of new things. So when I say new things, really what I mean is the thing that has been visioned, whether it's a big vision, like this is the new business, or this is how I'm going to do my team meetings in a new way. You know, if that's something that's stretchy or scary or whatever, like these are going to be the new rules in the house or whatever it is. So new relationships, new marketing strategy, new house, new way of being in the world, a new commitment, a new creative project, any new project, or any old project that you've kind of dusted up and created a new vision for or reactivated the vision for. Anything that there has been some visioning around, even if they've done something similar in the past. New things, which basically means doing something differently than the way you've been doing it. New things have a distinct energy. They have an energy that is different than the things that you've already been doing. And the more that you can understand the energy of new things, like as a practitioner, the more that you can understand some of that and the psychology behind that, if you will, then the better you'll be able to help navigate clients through new projects, new commitments, new actions. And then hopefully the more all of that will flow for your client. So much of the time when you're working with a client and yourself, you don't want to treat taking the first actions on a new project or new pattern or new practice or whatever. You don't want to treat taking the first actions in the same way that you treat taking action on a continuing or ongoing project. If you treat it like it's been an ongoing project, sometimes resistance can end up coming up, obstacles can end up coming up. The project will then maybe not even get started, or start and then stop, or strategizing around it, like even strategizing the action steps could get a little weird and convoluted. Okay, so in order to understand the energetics of new things, first let's just get a little bit of a deeper understanding of cycles. As you all know, I'm a student of cycles and student of the earth, and this relates to cycles. We could spend 4 days on this, but I'm going to just give a quickie overview. If you look at the natural world, anything in the natural world, the moon, the sun, the year, even the breath, a life cycle, all of these things, they run in cycles. They run in cycles. And if you look closer at any cycles in the natural world, there's usually 4 overarching phases. We can think of it as like the 4 seasons of the year. So there's the phase that's akin to spring. We can call that the planting phase. That's the new things phase. Summer is growing, right? So we've already planted, we've started the new thing, we've like got it, right? And it takes a certain energy to like get something to grow as opposed to then maintain the growth of summer. Summer growth is persistent and consistent and keep on showing up and you keep on watering and you keep on giving it sunlight. It's a different kind of energy than like that burst in the spring, right? And then if we continue to follow the cycles, after summer, there's autumn, which is about the harvest, which is about enjoying the fruits of the labor, actually plucking off the trees and enjoying the harvest. And then after that is winter, is rest, is letting things lay fallow, you know, and just being silent, and then back to spring again. Well, just like the natural world has these cycles, our project, any new commitment, any relationship, etc., runs in cycles as well. That makes sense so far? Okay. So when you think about spring, and think about the spring colors, and think about maidens or young people, like teenage, right? Like youngins and teenagers, like that's in the spring of life. There's a lot of new energy and new excitement in the spring. There's this like newness and it's this flash and it's very energetic and excited. By the way, same thing when you birth a baby. I always get science wrong, so anyone, you know, correct me. I don't know what, but like when a woman gives birth, much of the time, there's pitocin that's released into the system, and then there's like a burst of energy to be able to push this new thing out, like to birth this thing in the world. That's a little bit how we want, what we want to think of, like where we want to get clients to with new patterns or new projects. Not that it's like pressure filled and that they exude a lot of energy and that it's frenetic. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a grounded excitement and maybe like a little bit of a heightened energy to get something off the ground. Does that make sense so far? Okay. So, let me ask you, let's pause here for a moment. Oh, and Karen's saying she did a whole spring program for self-growth using these metaphors. I love it. Yeah, I have a program on that as well. Now, just because there is new excitement in the spring doesn't mean that that's where our clients are at. Right? When we vision and then we start to like move towards it. So that's part of our work, is to support them to get there. So let me ask you, just kind of for us to start to dip into this a little bit more, what's your relationship to new projects? How do you approach them? How do you feel about them? Right? Because I'm talking about the ideal here, but there's a whole range of reactions and responses to new things. So, what's your relationship to new projects? How do you approach them? How do you feel about them? And Stacy, you're asking, would this mean that winter is an ideal time for visioning? Not the beginning of winter, but once you kind of get the rest that you need or move through the grief process or the letting go process or whatever, and we'll speak to this more a little bit later in class, towards the end of winter is a nice time to start visioning. All right, so what's your relationship to new projects? How do you approach them? How do you feel about them? And share in the chat, what are you seeing? What's coming up for you? Kim is saying she's energized by the exploration, ideas, and creating the form from the vision. Nice. Holly's saying, I tend to have shiny object approach, lots of time and energy up front, and then I fizzle out. We're going to talk about that a little bit too, Holly, but also know some of that, Holly, is a summer issue versus a spring issue, because the summer, again, is like the persistent and the consistent, you know, wading through the long summer, you know, days and all of that. Hema's saying, I start out high energy, lots of ideas, then momentum fades and it feels like a chore. I get bored. Yeah, projects might get abandoned. So again, that's some spring, that's some summer. We'll look at that. Stacy's saying, squirrel. Yeah, we're going to look at that for sure. So a lot of thriving in the energy of new projects too, excitement by possibility. Yep, we're shiny object syndrome. Okay. Lots of mental with less in action. That is a piece too, for sure. So curiosity. Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. Okay, awesome. So as we can see, even from just some of this initial, you know, what's your relationship to new projects? There's some of you that are just like, love it, I'm in it, I'm curious, it gets me going. And then there are a lot of like, eh, not so much, or it starts out great and then it fades away. And so as practitioners, we want to be aware of this, right? That there's lots of different ways that people are going to respond to and react to new things. When a client has some obstacles with new things, when they have trouble starting to move forward with a vision, we want to be able to look at that with them. And as we get to the befriend your fear process and the rewiring process and wheel of self-sabotage, you know, all of those things will come into play, and those are all great tools. But where I want to look today is more some of the best way that I can put it is some of the philosophy, or for lack of a better word, psychology, to understand what people might be going through and what some of the most common blocks are when someone is starting something new. Is the lawn mowing outside of my window distracting? Okay, let me move. Sorry about that. Okay. Hopefully that's better. Okay. So we're going to look at some of the big blocks to starting new things, whether a client realizes it consciously in the moment or not. Number one, I don't know it all yet. I don't have the full exact vision. I can't really see it. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. And therefore, I'm scared to do it. Or therefore, I think it's not going to work out. Or therefore, I'm holding myself back from moving forward. And just like raise your hand or let me know in the chat if this is something that maybe you've experienced before. It's like, I don't know it all yet. I don't know how to do this, or I haven't seen it, or I don't know if it's going to work out. And then that can end up being a block in one way or another. So some of you, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, and then procrastination, yeah. So if this comes up for a client, yeah, Carlita's saying, I need to know all the steps that guarantee it's gonna work, right? And even if we don't, like, are not conscious of that in our brains, right? For some of us, that's the messaging, right? That's going on in the background. And Ray's saying having it normalized is so healing. And so that's a big piece of the work with a client that might be experiencing this particular block with a new thing. So you want to normalize it. So here's some wisdom that can help you normalize it. And it's actually back to Stacy's question about the winter. If we look back to the earth and the cycles of the earth, visioning, initiation, and planting start in the dark. They actually start in the dark. So early spring in most parts of the world is still pretty dark. It's still pretty wintry. it's not yet more light than dark. If we think about dawn, right, the start of a new day, dawn is still darkish gray. It's not totally light and bright. When we plant seeds into the ground, we plant them into the dark soil, into the mystery, right? They can't see the light of day. And it is the same with new projects and new habits and new relationships. We're not meant to see exactly what they're gonna grow into and how they're gonna grow into it and all of the details. I'm married. When I got married, I really had no idea what marriage was gonna be. When I got pregnant, I had no idea what motherhood was gonna be. When I decided to become a business owner, like, right, I had some visions and I had some ideas, and that's important, we wanna do that, but also we're not supposed to know all of it. Babies are partially blind when they're first born. And they certainly don't have all of their faculties and resources yet, right? Like, a baby is not born a full human being that can do life, right, on their own. We have to start a little bit in the dark. We almost always begin anything, like even if it's a new meditation practice or whatever it is, you know, a new bedtime or, you know, anything, we almost always begin in the mystery. And yes, the mystery can be scary. We don't totally see. We don't know how. We may not fully trust that clarity will come, especially for those of us that need to know how, right? If we like need to know the how of everything, that can really block us from new projects. But that's why we want to normalize this for clients, that we're meant to start in the mystery, and that we oftentimes need the mystery in order to start something new. Think about when dreaming happens, which is a form of visioning. It happens in the dark, not in the full light of day. And that's because there are no boundaries. Anything is possible. Sorry, now there's noise back here. Let me just quickly move. I'm so sorry about that. So supporting clients to be able to see that it's normal to not know everything ahead of time, to not see everything ahead of time, to not know how to do it all ahead of time can be so valuable. If you have a client that is starting something new and they get caught up and stuck because they're focusing only on the how, like, how do I do this? And then how do I do that? And how do I, you know, this next thing, and I can't do it until I know all the things. That's a good sign that your client has fallen into being scared of the dark. So we want to create awareness. Another thing that can really help with this fear of not knowing is to ask your client, okay, you don't know everything, but what do you know? What is it that you do know? What is it that you do know how to do, or, you know, what do you see, etc.? Another strategy when this comes up is to ask a client, when was a time in the past when you moved forward even though you didn't know how, or even if you didn't see all of the things, or even if you didn't know what was happening? Or another thing we can ask a client in this situation to create some more awareness is, Why is it possibly a gift that you don't know it all yet? What's the gift in that? Sometimes we also, it can be helpful to support a client to really be with their feelings around what being in the dark feels like. You can do that in session or in a journaling, and this is one of the homework pieces that I'll give you, you'll have on your resource sheet. You can give them a journaling exercise that starts with the prompt, starting in the dark feels like. Starting in the dark feels like. This is a way to explore some of that. All right, let's pause there. There are some other blocks to new things, but that's the first one, is I don't know it all, or I don't know it all yet. Thoughts or questions or anything else that wants to be said or asked about this piece or working with this piece. And of course, once we learn befriend your fear, you can do a befriend your fear with this one and all of that. Simona.
I actually don't have a question. I just had a request if we could just sit for like 20 seconds because so much just came in that I am almost not ready to hear another, but I don't want to be selfish, but if other people are like, just like a quiet, like a like 20 seconds, like, oh my God, all we just learned was like, am I the only one?
No, it's big stuff. It can bring up stuff for people for sure. Yeah, I'll give us a little space and then Simona, you take care of yourself. Like you what you need. And
I definitely will. I thought I might not be the only one, else I would have just done it myself.
Yeah. It is a biggie because, you know, we're taught to fear the dark, and we're taught in our society, we're taught that knowing is better than not knowing. And as coaches, we're taught that clients knowing is better than clients not knowing. Yeah. Libby.
Hi, you said at one point in passing that not seeing in the dark is so valuable for the client. So can you, this has just been so rich. And so I'm sitting across from a client, envisioning is not my wheelhouse. And so the client says to me, but why is it valuable? It feels so shitty. Why? What do you say back to that client?
Why is what valuable?
The vision? Why is not seeing in the dark so valuable to the client?
Mm-hmm.
What couple sentences would you give them?
Yeah. So when we already see everything, it's a done deal. Everything is already, I mean, this is just one way, and you may want to coach the client, like to ask them what comes up for you, whatever. But if you want to go a little bit into consulting mode, clarity is great, but clarity is a done deal. It's like, this is what I know. This is what I'm going for. It's not that possibilities get closed off, but there are some possibilities that get closed off when you are clear and when you make decisions. That's why dream time is so rich, because anything can happen. There are so many different possibilities. Things aren't defined yet, and so the best possibility is still able to emerge. How does that land?
Yeah, that opens it up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyone else want to share anything on this, or else we're going to keep on going? Okay. another block to new things can sound something like this, even if the client doesn't exactly say it in these words, or you may have to also look for it. It hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work again. This is a very, very common thing, right? It's like you think of of something that you want to do. I'm in this, you know what I'm just realizing right now? I'm in this a little bit right now. We have this funnel that hasn't been working. And this morning I was talking to my marketing team and we like came up with a new way of doing the funnel. But like in my head, I was like, but that's not going to work. Like I don't want to make that video that they told me to make because it's just, it hasn't worked. It's not going to work. You know, it hasn't worked before and it's not going to, right? I've tried to find a romantic relationship before and it's always failed. So it's going to fail again now. Or, you know, I did that a preview workshop before and no clients came of it. So I'm not going to get any clients this time, right? And again, like just like I'm realizing now, sometimes we can like start to go along with things, new things, but half-heartedly because of this belief. So there's the truth in the belief is that it hasn't worked before. The story in the belief is that since it didn't work before, it's not going to work now. Has this ever happened to you? Yeah. Stacy's asking, is this why we vision from the heart center versus the mind, which is based on, I love that question. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, that sounds right to me. So if this is what our client is presenting with, part of our work is to support them to be excited about starting again, So how can we support clients to do this? Well, first of all, as with everything, sometimes just creating awareness that this belief is hanging around for them because they may not know that it's there. They may not see it, right? So just creating awareness around this limiting belief can be so helpful and open up so much for a client. And then from there, once there's awareness, you can go deeper and ask questions like this. What learnings about this task do you have now that you didn't have before? What resources do you have now that you didn't have the last time you tried this? Jamie spoke to this in the chat. We're different in this moment. How are you different than the last time you worked towards this? Another question that can help with this idea of starting again, why is now the exact right time for this to come to fruition? Why is now the right time for this to come to fruition? Here's another question, a little bit of a different one. How can I help you be more successful this time around? Hey, Akila, I'm glad you're here. I wonder if because you're in a different time zone, people all in all my classes today and yesterday, the time, the clocks changing have been a thing. That I'm glad you're here. So we also want to normalize in this situation for some clients. It's normal for things to not work the first time, right? Like if I'm sharing this with clients, I can give them 100 different examples on how it's completely normal for the sale doesn't work the first time and the workshop doesn't work the first time and this, right? But it actually eventually does. Another thing that will really help a client in this situation of, ugh, it hasn't worked before and so it's not going to work now, is to reconnect your client back to their deep why. Why do they have this vision? Why do they want to do this task? The why can be bigger than the belief that it's not going to work out again. Oh, Tess, did you come in late too? I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's been happening to people the last 2 days with the time change. All right, so let me pause on this. There's some other reactions to new things that I still want to get to, but anything on this supporting clients through, well, it hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work this time. Are their big why and their vision different? It's a good question. So, I mean, some of it's semantics, Stacey, but to me, the why is the why for the vision. Like, what are the values, the needs, the intuitions that have given rise to the vision? Why is it important? Okay. Good. Kim, I'm glad you'll be able to use these with your client. Okay, let's keep on going. Here's another block to starting something new, getting something new off the ground, has to do with energetics of new things. The expectation of shiny and quick moving results, and that there will be no bumps in the road, and it's going to be awesome. And so for some of you earlier that wrote in the chat, for new things, you're like all energetic and it's great and like you're doing things and then it just dies off, like it stops. This might be one of the pieces at play. When we have an expectation that it's going to get off without a hitch, that it's going to be perfect, that it's going to go quick, that there aren't going to be stalls, that there aren't going to be things that don't work out, et cetera, et cetera, then it's like we can almost start with, not that there's such a thing as too excited, but almost like too excited of it or like too enthusiastic. And then we fall even farther when it doesn't just go off without a hitch. And unfortunately, I'm just going to get on my soapbox for a minute here. Unfortunately, the coaching industry is rampant with this. Build your business in a day, lose 50 pounds in a month, find your dream relationship by next week, you know, like be a perfect meditator by tomorrow morning, like whatever it is. And so then people go into this new thing enthusiastically, but like up here, right? Which is actually, you know, like back to the pregnancy metaphor. If you're like too excited, you block the birth of the baby too, right? But like people start up here and then it doesn't work out. And then they're just done. They don't have any more energy to move forward. They're so bummed. There's no resilience. And it feels like an epic fail when really things are taking a very normal course. So this is another thing that we want to normalize with our clients, right? Whatever the project is, like, you know, we don't want to be negative about it, but I'll say, you know, to clients before something big, like I'll get them revved up and excited, but I'll also say like, I'm excited for you to really do the work here, you know, or I might share my own story of like I'll say like, this may not happen for you, but the first time I did this, it didn't quite gain traction. And then we had to fiddle with this or that or the other thing and, you know, correct things. And then we started to get more traction, et cetera, et cetera. We want to support our clients to not just follow shiny objects and think it's going to be shiny the whole time, so that they don't fall into despair. In my role as a business coach, I feel like one of my jobs is to undo marketing mania. It's just like a thing. In addition to normalizing processes, the other piece that can really help with the expectation of shiny and quick moving results is to support your client to build resilience. Support your client to build resilience. So how can you do that? How can you support clients to build resilience? Well, number one, you can unpack it a bit, right? Support them to define what resilience means and what resilience looks like for them in that situation. You can explore maybe where they struggle when it comes to resilience. Where are the gaps for them when it comes to resilience? You can look at where in the past they've had resilience, they've seen something through, they've been able to stay the course. And what was at play for them there? What resources they used in that situation? Sometimes you can also bring it, if for certain clients, it's helpful to bring it to the body, to the somatics, right? To feel, you can lead a client to feel what lack of resiliency feels like in their body, to feel what, or even more importantly, to really feel what resilience feels like, to take some moments to slow down into that feeling, make a body memory of it. You can lead clients to dialogue with their resilient self, with the part of themselves that is resilient. All right, let me pause here. Any further thoughts or ideas on shiny and quick results, or any questions on that? Nihal.
Thanks. I'm wondering, you know, I feel a little bit of like the gap and bridge kind of dynamic here with where I do or don't feel resilience. And I'm wondering if it's more helpful to explore the gap of where I don't feel resilience before going to where I do feel resilience. Is that more empowering for the client?
I think it, like, every situation is different. Yeah. You know, in a little bit, you want to use your intuition with that, but for sure that could be helpful. Like, first, like, where are the places where you don't feel resilient, and then where are the places where you do? Yeah, I can't give, like, these are the moments to look at this first versus the other. I think you'll feel into it in sessions. Rana.
Yeah, I'll share that, whether it's in a marketing type of conversation with a potential client or supporting an existing client, is that sharing my own personal vulnerabilities and stories around my experiences with and through resilience helps to normalize it. Yeah. And also really humanizes me to someone either individually, but I've also found that to be incredibly beneficial also in groups.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing that in. One of the ways, as we know, of creating awareness is the personal anecdote. And with topics like this, it can be so helpful to normalize and then also create that deeper trust with the practitioner, because then you see they're human. Carlita.
To me, this is one of the biggest things I love to emphasize in my coaching, is that it's like that journey itself to become the version of you that has been on this hero's journey to actualize all this stuff in the end is really like the prize that you get. It's not even like, I mean, like the thing that I'm so amazed by in so many things that I've overcome and achieved is like, holy shit, I had to transform so much stuff to do that. So it's kind of like that's part of the gift of it, is the learning to navigate this. It's not, this is just an obstacle in front of you. It's that this is something that's going to be a trophy on the shelf of your heart. Yeah, totally.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I'm so glad you're bringing that in too. It's, you know, we can normalize that or create awareness around that I always say, like, it within the business realm, but it's probably true for everything. Like, you want to learn to be the best version of yourself, start a business, work through the business, go through all of the problems of a business. Like, you will grow. If you keep on showing up, you will grow and transform. These days, I'm thinking that more about parenthood, but that's a whole other story. Okay. Two other just points, and you'll have more of this in your resource sheets, but I just want to mention them quick for now. Sometimes starting something new means letting go of something old, and that can be the block or the unseen block. So supporting a client to really name what it is that they're, you know, need to let go of in order to start the new project, the new habit, the new pattern, and possibly holding space for grief around that, or whatever the process of letting go, that can be important. And then the last piece, and there's a much deeper exploration around this, and you'll have some questions for homework around this, but sometimes if we've disconnected energetically from our younger selves, to put it into gendered terms, the maiden, that's just for women, but you can put it into whatever gender you want, but like the highest version of our inner child, that's a good way to put it, the highest version of our inner child, that's the one that's open, the one that's excited, the one that's curious and sees wonder in the world and new things, the one that's not attached to outcome, the one that's willing to laugh at their own mistakes, the one that has no expectation of perfection, the one that's not jaded, the one that's looking for fun. Oftentimes adults have disconnected from that, the highest level of their inner child, either because that child, something has happened, there's a trauma piece that has happened, or because that one just got buried under history and responsibility and adulthood and experience or whatever. And so sometimes supporting a client to reclaim that high level inner child energy of that excitement and that curiosity is that burst of energy that can really be used to start the new project. All right, we have a minute left. What are you taking? I know we've covered so much in our call today. What are you taking away from our time together today? What's most important? Curiosity and play. everything. How to help others not fear the mystery. Not needing to know all the answers. Yeah, normalizing these blocks. Yeah, Linda, the normalizing is so big. The darkness is fertile. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, my friends, I will let you sit with all of this. I know this sessions are one of the sessions that you'll keep on, it'll work through you for a couple of days for sure. Akilah and Tess, definitely go back and listen to the first hour. There was a lot in it. We are not meeting next week, but you'll get that model coaching recording, actually two of them that I was talking about. And then we'll meet for strategizing in 2 weeks. If you need anything before then, just let me know. I'm around and I'm thinking about all of you. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.